Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Representative Brewster and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be together in this great body. We're grateful for the wonderful opportunity it is to represent the wonderful people of Montana. Help us to make good and wise decisions. Help us to be conscious of the long-term effects of everything we do. Help us to be kind to one another. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Speaker, 100 members are present.
A quorum is present and the House is ready for business. Are there any introductions? Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today, February 23rd, is a sacred day in the history of the United States Marine Corps, second only to their founding date, November 10th. February 23rd, 1945, six brave Marines climbed to the top of Mount Suribachi and planted a flag that has become the iconic symbol of the U.S. Marine Corps. Three of them got their own flag before they left that island, as they were brought home in a box. 27 Marines, 20% of all Marines during World War II, received the Medal of Honor. As General Admiral Nimitz said, uncommon valor became a common virtue. For my fellow Marines, Semper Fi.
Representative Logie.
Speaker, I'd like to be off the record, out of the journal for an introduction, please.
So ordered.
Up in the balcony, I have a couple constituents from St. Regis, Rick and Paul Jasper, and their grandson is a page up front.
Welcome to the House.
Thank you.
Representative Grief.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for an introduction.
So ordered.
We have a dear friend up in the gallery here from the Bitterroot, Wayne Rusk. He also happens to be Representative Logie's nephew, and it won't be too long before he'll be sitting on the floor someday.
Welcome to the House. Representative Cordham.
Mr. Speaker, may I be off the record and out of the journal for the purposes of a memorial?
So ordered.
This week, a close friend lost his father, and Montana lost a dedicated servant. David Lee Armstrong, born June 3rd, 1946, in Great Falls. David joined active service in the U.S. Navy in 1966. He was the plank owner on the USS Blue Ridge and served off of Vietnam aboard the ship. He served aboard the USS Sacramento twice and the second time as the ship's master chief. His final deployment was as Command Master Chief, Naval Forces Marianas. He retired in 1988 as one of the highest-ranking enlisted men in the Navy. After naval life, he came home to Montana and continued in service. He worked over a decade in the Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch as a counselor and case manager. He was active in the Masonic community, especially in the Ashar Lodge in Billings and the Scottish Rite, where he achieved the honorary 33rd degree. He paid special attention to the Scottish Rite speech and language disorder clinic, serving on the board for several years. David Armstrong passed away February 21st, 2021, to complications of COVID and COPD. I request a moment of silence in his memory.
So ordered. Representative Malone.
Announcement, Mr. Speaker.
So ordered.
Today is National Agriculture Day, February 23rd. After we got done eating lunch, reminders that every farmer and rancher in this country feeds himself and 165 other people for less than 10% of their disposable income. So thank a farmer and a rancher.
Order of business number one, communications and petitions.
None, Mr. Speaker.
That objection will revert to order business number 10, unfinished business.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to House Bill 332, signed Representative Ed Hill, sponsor. Mr. Speaker, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to House Bill 492, signed Representative Brad Cheetah, sponsor. Mr. Speaker, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to House Bill 519, signed Representative Katie Zolnikov, sponsor. Mr. Speaker, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to House Bill 556, signed Representative Kenneth Walsh, sponsor. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
That objection will go back to order business number 2, reports to standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Appropriations. I recommend that House Bill 115-188 do pass. 373-374 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Lou Jones, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Business and Labor. Recommend that Senate Bill 118 be concurred in. Signed, Representative Mark Nolan, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Education. Recommend that House Bill 233 and 329 do pass. 185, 300, 332 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Seth Burgley, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Human Services. Recommend that House Bill 291 do pass. 57, 90, 334 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Dennis Lenz, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Judiciary. Recommend that House Bill 428, 463, 504, 509 do pass. Signed, Representative Barry Usher, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on State Administration. Recommend that House Bill 483 do pass. Signed, Representative Wendy McCamey, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 3, reports to select committees.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 4, messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the following House bills were on this day read three several times, concurred in title and history, agreed to, and are herewith returned to the House. House Bill 85, Cheetah, 94, Walsh, 142, Kazmaier. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the following House bills were on this day read three several times, concurred in as amended, title and history, agreed to, and are herewith returned to the House for concurrence in Senate amendments. House Bill 193, Patelis. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the filing Senate bills were on this day read three several times and passed, title and history agreed to, and are herewith transmitted to the House for concurrence. Senate Bill 131, Solomon, 157, Heinbach, 173, Howard, 185, Howard, 205, Hoven. Sincerely, Marilyn Miller, Secretary of the Senate. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 5, messages from the Governor.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 6, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Joint Resolution 16 and House Bills 548 through 578, 580 through 590 are introduced, read first time and referred to committee. All are posted. Mr. Speaker, Senate Bills 131, 157, 173, 185, and 205 have been read first time and referred to committee. All are posted. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 7, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the committee resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
All those in favor say aye. All opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Representative Skies, Chair of the Committee of the Whole, for the day.
Members of the committee, please be in order. Members participating on Zoom, in order to vote, you must sign in using your RSA token. If we do not see a vote on the vote board, you'll be recognized. Once recognized, you may unmute and voice your vote. This process will enable us to maintain decorum while addressing remote technical difficulties. Members of the committee, agenda item number 7, House Bill 342. The staff is still working on an amendment for that bill, so without objection, I will move it to the bottom of the board. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 201. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 201, introduced by Holmland, a bill for an act entitled An Act Clarifying the Calculation of Zone Pay and Travel Allowances in a Prevailing Wage District, providing a definition, amending section, and providing an effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Holmland?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 201, that it recommends the same do pass.
Representative Holmland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I bring to you House Bill 204. This is an act clarifying the calculation of zone pay and travel allowances in prevailing wage districts. Prevailing wage is a system that is set up to try to standardize wages throughout the various four regions in the state of Montana for construction. The bill that I brought before you today has nothing to do with the wages that they earn. They're set in books similar to this one. There's a couple others that they actually set the wages, and there's a whole series of different professions in there, and it tells you exactly what they'll be paid. What this bill does do is it helps the people in eastern Montana, because the only dispatch city in eastern Montana is Billings. So if you're living in Sydney or Bainville, or as was described earlier, a couple of days ago, that people drive 1,000 miles to come here to testify, well, it's a long, long ways from Billings to Sydney. It's 140 miles to Miles City. It's another 52 to 53 miles to Sydney. So you're talking almost 200 miles. And we have to pay the same wages as they do in Billings. But we also have to pay what's called zone pay. That's the way that they have set up to cover expenses for people that live more than a designated amount of distance. If you're more than 50 miles, you might pay as much as $6 an hour more than what you're getting if you were to live in Billings. So what happens when zone pay comes into effect? The people in eastern Montana have to pay somewhere between 3 and 7% extra for any building that they put in. Miles City right now is in the process of putting a building out at our fairgrounds. It's about a $4 million building. It's going to cost approximately $280,000 extra just to put this building up simply because of prevailing wage coming out of Billings. This bill makes two cities in eastern Montana dispatch cities, Miles City and Sydney. Prevailing wage has to do with, like I said, the job description and the month that is set up by the Department of Labor and Industry. Zone pay is not the same as travel pay. It's the distance one way from a dispatch city to the center of the job. Travel benefits is travel pay. They travel both from the site and back to the dispatch city. Per diem covers the cost of board and lodging. We're not touching anything except the zone pay. This would save approximately $6 an hour in Miles City for the jobs that I'm talking about. Any job that's over $25,000 in the state of Montana currently has to have prevailing wage coming out of a dispatch city. Eastern Montana is the only one that has this kind of distance between any place in the district and the dispatch city. Prevailing wage applies to anything over $25,000. Now, you may be hearing some people talking about they want to make that to be over $150,000 to $250,000, but that is not in this bill. All we're doing is removing the zone pay and putting two more cities in to be prevailing wage or dispatch cities. When this whole setup was done, they allowed five districts, but only four are being used, and the biggest one is eastern Montana. You may hear from opponents that they say that without zone pay, that no one is going to want to go to eastern Montana to do their jobs. I believe that people that do this kind of construction work are going to go wherever the jobs are. Another one you'll be hearing is eastern Montana. Eastern Montana does not have the qualified workers for the job. A successful bidder will find the right people to do the job. So what we're looking for is two more cities, Miles City and Sydney, and that the zone pay would be coming from them as opposed to Billings. I'll sit and answer questions. Thank you.
Is there discussion? Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the body. I rise in opposition to this bill today. We just heard from the sponsor that there will be workers going to eastern Montana regardless. Well, my question is, if that's the truth and if workers are already rushing over there, what's the purpose of the bill? This bill adds two dispatch cities in eastern Montana, which would go to Miles City and Sydney, and add that to the prevailing wage districts. The vast majority of workers that do work in eastern Montana live in the Billings area. So these two additional dispatch cities will mean that the Billings workers aren't compensated for their travel. As the good sponsor said, this won't decrease wages, but he's just talking about the base wages. He's not talking about the whole wage package. From the opposition we heard in committee, which was labor, contractors, and business owners alike from eastern Montana, they said that this would result in an average of $6 wage cut for folks that pick up and go to work in eastern Montana. And another thing this bill does not improve. It doesn't improve work efficiency. It'll cause delays in major projects in eastern Montana. It will not bring higher-paying jobs to this state. Promises that were made by my colleagues across the aisle during this last election cycle. So in the end, folks won't travel to eastern Montana for work, potentially worsening the state's workforce shortage. To cut right down to it, this is a bad bill. Vote red.
Representative Lear.
I'd like to speak to the bill.
Representative Lear.
Yeah, this is a good bill, members of the body. It will help out taxpayers in eastern Montana tremendously. I cannot remember the exact percentage it will save on each project over $25,000, but it's a tremendous amount. This is a good bill, and it'll help out the taxpayers in the east.
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I do. One of the things that happened in eastern Montana as a result of the prevailing wages that it is now, a little town, Ekalaka, and yeah, that's the way it's pronounced, regardless of how it was pronounced on the floor one day, Ekalaka, built a school. They lost two rooms in that school, in that grade school that they built down there, because of prevailing wage. It cost them that much extra. So what we're asking for is please be fair to the people in eastern Montana. We're taxpayers also, and this would enable them to be able to do the buildings that they need to have. There's really no way to prove what hasn't happened, so you can't go out there and say, well, this building wasn't built because of prevailing wage. But really, if you stop to think about it, when they start looking at the dollars that it's going to cost extra, there's probably been jobs that were never done simply because it was going to cost so much more money. The question was asked, why do we need this bill? About $6 an hour additional is the reason that we need this bill. The taxpayers of eastern Montana are paying that. I ask for a green light. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Homeland that when this committee does rise and report, after having had it under consideration House Bill 201, it recommended the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Custer. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 66 representatives have voted aye, 34 have voted no.
House Bill 201 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 231. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 231, introduced by Matt Regeer, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Certificates of Need to Include Only Long-Term Care Facilities and Services and Amending Sections, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Matt Regeer?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 231 that recommend the same do pass.
Representative Matt Regeer.
Members of the committee, this bill just repeals part of the Certificate of Need program, and a quick definition of the Certificate of Need program. Right now, a small portion of the healthcare industry, if you want to open your own business, you have to go to the Department of Health and Human Services and ask for a Certificate of Need. And Department of Health and Human Services then decides if there's enough business for you to open. It gets even worse. They actually ask your future competitors, hey, is there enough room for this person to join the market? It is completely anti-free market. If you turn to page 11, lines 1 through 5 there, you can see the part of the healthcare industry that we're exempting out of this Certificate of Need program. It is home health care, inpatient chemical dependency treatment, ambulatory surgical care, and outpatient surgical services. So that would allow more competition in this area of the healthcare industry. More competition is better for consumers. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Matt Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 231, it recommended the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Trebus. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 65 representatives have voted aye. 35 have voted no.
House Bill 231 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 280. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 280, introduced by Matt Regeer, a bill for an act entitled An Act Repealing Authorization for Senior Citizens Legislature, repealing sections and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Matt Regeer?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 280, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Matt Regeer.
Members of the committee, here's a fun one for you. This is the Senior Citizens Legislature. I know on your bill there it just says repeal. You probably don't have the code in front of you, so I'll just read one sentence here real quick. This is currently in code. The Department of Health and Human Services may contract with senior citizens organizations for the purpose of establishing a mock legislature to be held in the year preceding the legislative session. That's currently in code. I don't know if this was a start to annual sessions or what. But this doesn't need to be in code. Health and Human Services could do this anyway. Recommend a repeal. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion? Representative McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes, I do.
Representative McCamey.
Good sponsor. I was wondering if this means that old people are going to mock us before we seat.
I sure hope not.
Thank you.
Representative Caleb Hinkle.
Mr. Chair, question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes.
Representative Caleb Hinkle.
Representative Regeer, by repealing senior citizens legislature, you don't mean the Senate, do you?
That could be out of order, but I'm not going to call it. Yeah.
Mr. Chair and Representative sees how I need votes over from the mock legislature over there to pass this. I'm going to not comment on that today.
Seeing that there's no more mock discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. There being the question now rises on the motion of Representative Matt Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 280, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote nay. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 92 representatives have voted aye, 8 have voted no.
House Bill 280 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 285. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 285, introduced by Trebus, a bill for an act entitled An Act Generally Revising Laws Related to Cigar Bars, allowing for cigar bars, providing requirements for cigar bars, providing indoor ventilation requirements, restricting tobacco product use to cigars, exempting cigar bars from indoor smoking prohibitions, providing definitions and amending sections. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Trebus?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 285, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Trebus.
Thank you, members of the committee, Mr. Chair. We have had many important bills to consider this session, and this isn't at the top of that list for sure, but I thank you for your time today in considering it. I don't have a dog in this fight except in regard to bringing a little bit more freedom to Montana. And so what's in this proposal, what's in this bill, in short, it's allowing cigar bars, which means a limited and controlled environment for indoor smoking. So what's on the actual bill? Most of it's on the front page here. Front page news. New section 14 through 17 lines on page 1. It is for or available to all beverage licensees under 16-4-201. They may operate a cigar bar. They may permit the smoking of cigars in a public place on the premises. Only cigars that are purchased on the premises may be smoked, and nothing in this section permits the smoking of any other tobacco, alternative nicotine, vapor products, etc. What is it? What's a cigar bar? Must generate 10% or more of its annual gross income from the sale of cigars. Must have a humidor on the premises. It must have a ventilation system. And it must post a notice of prohibition against smoking other products, nicotine-related tobacco. And may not knowingly permit or sell to anyone under the age of 21 years of age. And then finally, some definitions of cigar. What's a cigar? Well, we had to pull in a pretty tight definition for that. It means premium tobacco products that are composed only of tobacco leaves, water, de minimis amounts of vegetable-based adhesive are handmade, not machine-made, wrapped in whole leaf tobacco, 100% leaf tobacco binder, capped by hand, do not have a filter, etc. So that's the gist of this bill, and I'll answer questions. Thank you.
Is there a discussion? Representative Sullivan.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to speak in opposition to the bill. This is a bad bill that rolls back Montana's Clean Indoor Air Act and puts Montana workers at risk for death and disease caused by secondhand smoke exposure. The fact is, this is not so much a cigar bar bill, but a bar that allows smoking within nearly any Montana bar. Looking at the bill text, cigar smoking will be allowed in any bar that generates only 10% of revenue from cigar sale. A bar making 10% of revenue selling cigars isn't a specialty bar, it just is a bar that happens to sell cigars. Lastly, there is no way that we can mitigate risk to employees by relying on ventilation. The American Society of Heating, Refrigerating, and Air Conditioning Engineers submitted testimony stating that the only means of avoiding health effects and eliminating indoor environmental tobacco smoke exposure is to ban smoking inside the building. This bill opens up the door for cigar smoking in any bar, rolling back the Clean Indoor Air Act, and it will endanger workers. I'm asking for a no. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Speaker Gault.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm happy that this is the first bill I get to stand up and speak on. You may remember this is one of the ones I brought last session. So this is clearly a choice. So everyone has the choice if they want to go in there. They have the choice if they want to work there. And try not to steal the thunder from the sponsor's clothes, but we are one of five states that don't do this, and we're soon to be one of four. North Dakota has the same legislation coming. So I'll use one of the sayings I did during Blackjack. I'm tired of going out of state to go smoke a cigar inside.
Representative, there being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just echo some of that sentiment. It's adults age 21 and over in a special space just for this purpose. It doesn't repeal the Indoor Clean Air Act. It provides a very limited, narrow, restricted avenue to smoke indoors. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Tribus that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 285, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote nay. Representative Anderson.
No.
Representative Hawk. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? There we go. Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 59 representatives have voted aye, 41 have voted no.
House Bill 285 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 318. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 318, introduced by Homeland, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Wild Buffalo and Wild Bison Laws, clarifying the definition of wild buffalo or wild bison, clarifying that the per capita fee does not apply to certain domestic bison, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Homeland?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 318, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Homeland.
I bring to you House Bill 318. This is the definition of wild buffalo or wild bison. When we brought this bill last time, we had a discussion with the natives here on the floor. And if you look at line 17 on page 1, a per capita fee may not be imposed on bison owned by a tribal member and located on fee land or tribal land within the boundaries of the reservation. This was put in at their request. And as a result of the discussion on that, then they were in favor of what we were trying to do. Basically, what we are doing is adding one line to the definition of buffalo, of a wild bison. And that is seen first on page 2, line 13, part B. It has never been subject to per capita fee under 1524.921. The other two qualifications, A and C, are already in code. They can be found. That's it, in code at 81.1.101. We're not changing anything there. We're just adding that one line. And the reason behind this is a couple. One of them that I feel that if someone has had animals and they've been paying per capita on them, they're actually livestock and should not be turned wild. And the second one is that we had a gentleman in Miles City who was raising buffalo. And as they were kept in captivity in very close quarters, there's a possibility that when an animal is held that way that they may be able to pick up diseases from the ground. And if they're released into the wild buffalo, they could possibly wipe out the herd. So I don't think any of us really want that. The only change is in the definition of a wild buffalo that has never been in per capita. I will sit down and listen to questions.
Is there a discussion? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representatives, I rise today in opposition to House Bill 318. We have made a lot of progress in the last several years in responsibly managing bison as wildlife. All this progress has been done with the current working legal definition. Contrary to clarifying, this change to the definition in this bill is unnecessary, confusing, and threatens the progress, as well as our relationship with the tribal nations who participate in the management plan of bison as wildlife. A similar bill was vetoed last session because it would have threatened the preservation of wild bison genetics and their conservation, both within and beyond the Yellowstone Park's boundaries. Creating confusion around bison management will set us back years, jeopardizing the progress we've made and threatening future management efforts. Out of respect for the tribal nations within Montana, as well as all the work that has been done by our state agencies, please join me in voting no. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Speak on the bill. I would support this bill. I think it's very important as we see more and more people, more and more landowners bringing bison into the state of Montana, non-tribal bison, and it's important for counties to get those tax dollars, and important for the state to support the Department of Livestock. Thank you.
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Homeland that when this committee does rise and report after having had it in consideration House Bill 318, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 66 representatives have voted aye. 34 have voted no.
House Bill 318 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, the chair recognizes Minority Leader Abbott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On that one, a representative from Box Elder was punched in. I could see his button from where I'm sitting.
Thank you, Minority Leader Abbott. I did not see the button. Representative, would you like to rise on a point of, well, I guess we can't do that on this in second reading. You want to rise on a point of order?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, on a point of order here, you know, we do have a floor plan here, and whether my button is on or not, whether you could see it or not, it's not my fault that technology has failed us once again. So I did have a piece to say on this, Mr. Chairman. And as rapid as you've been going through the whole agenda today, it kind of gives us a disadvantage to at least give that opportunity, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. I'll keep a sharper eye on the queue. Let's go back. We are now on to members of the committee. You have before you for your consideration House Bill 341. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 341, introduced by Matt Regeer, a bill for an act entitled, an act directing the Medicaid appropriations be used only for Medicaid expenditures and providing an effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Matt Regeer?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 341, that I recommend the same do pass.
Representative Matt Regeer.
Members of the committee, this is a very short bill, but it has large ramifications. All this bill says is that Medicaid appropriations must be used for Medicaid expenditures. The track record of Department of Health and Human Services and their Medicaid budget has been one of over-appropriations. In 2016, they were over-appropriated by $69 million, 17, $128 million, 18, 174 million in 19, 172 million and 83 million in 2022. So all this bill is saying that when we over-appropriate, I understand that you need a little bit of a cushion. Caseload projections can never be 100% accurate. So I understand that cushion, but we're still appropriating money that we expect to be spent on Medicaid expenditures. So when building that budget for the future, all we get to see is that past. I know that we've got a new governor and a new director over there. I'm very optimistic about the direction forward. But while we go forward, I still think that as a legislature and as our prerogative, the money that we spend on appropriations for Medicaid should be spent on those that qualify for Medicaid. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, please remember, if you want to speak on a bill, please do it. Punch in when the sponsor is opening on his bill. Is there a discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. Motion. The question now rises on the motion of Representative Matt Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 341, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote nay. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 77 representatives have voted aye. 23 have voted no.
House Bill 341 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 353. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 353, introduced by Gunderson, a bill for an act entitled, an act authorizing the issuance of replacement hunting license permits or tags for harvested game animals determined to be unfit for human consumption, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Gunderson?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 353, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. How many people in the body have played lottery? That don't need to answer. We're not talking about the Mega Millions, but we're talking about the lottery held by FWP for trophy hunts, such as moose. I'm sure not a lot of you have won that lottery or been picked for a moose permit. Some people have spent years and years applying for a lottery moose hunt only to be awarded their permit money refund and nothing more. Those lucky enough to have been picked have only started a huge investment in oftentimes a once-in-a-lifetime hunt. I have actually two such lucky people that were drawn for moose permits in my district during the last interim. Both spent an average about $25,000 to $3,000 to fund their hunts. One gentleman is 73 years old, and this would most likely have been his last hunt of this type of caliber. The other gentleman is younger, but like many of us, is showing his age and physically challenged. This gentleman spent many years of his adult life working as a hard rock miner. Both these men were lucky enough to be drawn for that prize moose permit. But both of these men also won, for lack of better words, another unique and hard-to-win lottery pick. Both harvested moose infected with CWD. That's right, chronic wasting disease. Both men were told that they were going to be reissued a replacement permit.
Representative, could you hold the microphone a little closer, please?
Oh, sorry. Both men were told that they were going to be reissued a replacement permit for the current season. Both men were given this option only after the season was mostly over and winter weather conditions had set in. Neither was either financially nor physically able to renew the hunt that season. FWP only made the replacement permits valid for the current hunting season. It's the law. No lottery-type permit can be replaced for the next season. Again, it's law. This is the reason we're here today. I bring you HB 353, a bill that will allow FWP to, I quote, and on page 1, line 15 of the bill, issue a replacement license, permit, or tag to a person that has lawfully harvested a game animal, but that the meat of the animal was determined by the department to be unfit for human consumptions. So lines 18 and 19 lay out the requirements And line 20 lays out the option of what the replacement will be issued. That's the bill, pretty much all in one. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion? Representative Logie.
Mr. Chair, this is a great bill for Montanans who are, most of us are meat hunters, and you go out there on the field and you spend a lot of time, and you may get an animal that may have a prior injury, and the meat may not be good, and we're seeing a great increase in the CWD problem, and people do have that investment of the time and the money for the tag, and I think this is one of the considerations we have to make for Montanans that love to hunt and provide food for their families with the wild game. Thank you.
Representative Jeter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the bill sponsor yield to a question?
Does the sponsor yield?
I do.
Representative Jeter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gunderson, let me give you a situation that's not hypothetical and tell me how this bill would impact this. I know someone who spent a lot of time applying for the trophy mule deer tag in District 270, finally drew the tag, went out and harvested a nice trophy mule deer, and when they were cleaning it, they noticed some very unattractive green gack in the shoulder. So the hunt was both for the trophy, especially in that area because of the caliber of deer there, and for the meat. When they went to FWP and said, look, this meat doesn't look like it's potentially edible, sent a sample to FWP. They said, do not eat it. And he said, well, what do I do? I don't have meat. They said, well, return the animal. And he said, well, yeah, I can bring the carcass in. They said, no, the entire animal. And they were going to replace that tag with an antlerless tag. Your bill seems to indicate that they would get perhaps a replacement trophy tag. But if they've already harvested a
trophy...
If they've already harvested a trophy and they're hard to come by, how would this bill address a situation like that?
Thank you for the question, good representative from Missoula. The way the
Through
bill...
the chair.
Mr. Chair, good representative from Missoula. The way the bill reads now, if we pass it, is that, yes, it will be a like-for-like tag. And it will cost $5, so there is a cost to replace it. There is an option that the FWP has to actually not replace it in that current year if it's in an area that the animals are, I guess for better words, slim pickings. But it's made to be able to give us that option and to have FWP work with us. Right now, they have no latitude.
Follow-up, please, Mr. Chair.
Does the sponsor continue to yield?
I do.
Representative Cheetah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gunderson, so just for clarification, they would have to turn back in the entire animal that had headgear that went with it, and then they could be issued a like tag rather than being issued an antlerless tag for an animal in that district or maybe another district to harvest just for the meat. Is that a correct assumption?
Mr. Chair, good representative from Missoula, that is correct.
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let's give the chance to our faithful sportsmen and sportswomen who make hunting possible in Montana, able to harvest a healthy and consumable game animal, to be able to be issued a replacement tag, license, permit for the next hunting season. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Gunderson that when this committee does rise and report, after having had it under consideration, House Bill 353, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 86 representatives have voted aye. 14 have voted no.
House Bill 353 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 368. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 368, introduced by Grief, a bill for an act entitled, an act adopting the Uniform Premarital and Marital Agreements Act, providing definitions, providing requirements for the validity and enforceability of a premarital or marital agreement, repealing the Uniform Premarital Agreement Act, amending sections, repealing sections, and providing an effective date and an applicability date. Mr. Chair?
What is your pleasure, Representative Grief?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 368, that it recommend a do pass.
Representative Grief.
Members of the body, today I'm bringing to you House Bill 368. This bill is from the Family Practice Attorneys of the Montana Bar. It's really a simple, common sense bill, but extremely important. It's called the Uniform Premarital and Marital Agreements Act, or UPMAA. Montana now has, in effect, a Uniform Premarital Agreement Act, but not one that covers agreements after you are married. So, the new part will cover situations like if one spouse is going to inherit assets that they want to keep separate, or if a spouse's financial situation has changed unexpectedly. The parties should be free, within limits, to choose the financial terms of their marriage. But this will ensure that there are protections in place so that these agreements are entered into with full understanding. The proposed agreement treats premarital and marital agreements under the same set of principles and requirements, and there are safeguards put in place. A party's consent must be voluntary and not made under duress. They must have legal representation. Financial disclosures must have been made. A court will refuse to enforce this if it is deemed unconscionable. So, it's definitely time, past time, for this protection, and I urge a do pass on House Bill 368. Thank you.
Is there a discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is just a common sense agreement that's going to protect many people. Thank you for your green vote.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Grief that when this committee does arise and report, after having had it under consideration, House Bill 368, it recommended the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 88 representatives have voted aye. 12 have voted no.
House Bill 368 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 379. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 379, introduced by Vinton, a bill for an act entitled, an act declaring the use of actuarial tables based on sex to be non-discriminatory approach to setting insurance premium rates, except as prohibited by federal law, amending section and providing an applicability date. Mr. Chair?
What is your pleasure, Majority Leader Vinton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 379, that it recommend the same do pass.
Majority Leader Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the body, House Bill 379 will allow insurance companies to consider a person's sex when rating insurance premiums. Since 1985, Montana has been the only state in the nation that prohibited this practice in all lines of insurance. Not allowing the consideration of sex in rate making has been detrimental to insureds, especially women, who often pay higher insurance premiums. You will note on lines 12 through 13, there's just a simple cleanup of language to make it more clear. Lines 21 through 24 is where the change in law occurs. With the revised language, insurance companies will now be able to rate premiums the same as they do in other states and include the use of the insured sex. Section 4 also references federal law, which bans health insurance companies from setting premiums based on sex. Therefore, this bill does not apply to health insurance because it is preempted by federal law. House Bill 379 will help consumers have access to the best insurance and retirement products on the market that is properly rated to their risk. This bill ensures rates in Montana are fair, factual, and not excessive, and I urge a do pass.
Is there a discussion? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, representatives. I rise in opposition to House Bill 379. In 1983, 40 years ago, a majority of legislators voted that men and women should pay the same for identical insurance policies. every regular legislative session since 1983. That was 30 years of legislative sessions. At least one legislator has tried to return gender bias to insurance. And in every one of those legislative sessions, a bipartisan majority voted to keep it. In those sessions, both Republican and Democratic sessions, the insurance commissioners and Democratic and Republican governors have supported it. House Bill 379 is the 24th attempt to bring gender bias back. What does this mean? Well, working women now no longer pay more for disability insurance. Older women receive the same annuities as men. Young men who are safe drivers do not pay more for car insurance just because they are male. And it's true, the country followed Montana's non-gender insurance law by including it in the law of the land for all health insurance. And yet, House Bill 379 would take that away on the promise that life insurance would be cheaper. But yet, women may get a price break with life insurance rates, but as a surviving beneficiary, will also get lower payouts. In auto insurance, it's true, young women ages 15 to 25 get a price break for car insurance, but once we turn 25, those price breaks will go away. In disability insurance, women pay much higher rates in disability insurance when the statistics show that for women, just simply because they are the folks who have children. We know that long-term care insurance has already gone up, and with this bill, the long-term care insurance for women will dramatically increase. Women are most often the caretakers in our families. We leave work, we sacrifice retirement income. Sometimes we are caring for children and elderly parents at the same time. Our reward, higher cost of insurance. That is, unless we live here in Montana. Representatives, Montana's non-gender insurance law has been in effect for nearly 40 years. Please don't return gender bias to insurance. And please vote no on House Bill 379. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will. This isn't 1983. It's not 1985. It's 2021. And it's time that we go to fair, factual, and not excessive rates in our insurance products. I urge a green vote. Thank you.
The question now rises on the motion of Majority Leader Vinton that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 379 and recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Other absentee votes.
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 72 representatives have voted aye, 28 have voted no.
House Bill 379 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 386. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 386, introduced by Gist, a bill for an act entitled, an act revising laws related to auxiliary officers, allowing an auxiliary officer to carry a weapon on a search and rescue mission with prior approval of the sheriff, and amending section, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Gist?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 386, that recommend the same do pass.
Mr. Representative Chair. Gist.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the body, this bill is basically, it's amending Section 7-32-232 of the Montana Code that talks about the roles of auxiliary officers to the sheriff's offices. It pertains to being able to carry a firearm while on search and rescue missions, thus protecting the search and rescue themselves, the members, and also the people that they're out there looking for. The majority of auxiliary officers of Montana are in search and rescue. HB 836 will afford search and rescue volunteers the opportunity to carry a firearm while on an official search and rescue mission. It's a critical bill that supports the volunteers of the search and rescue teams. They are covered under workman's comp during this time. They are under the direction of a sheriff, and it will be at the sheriff's discretion if they carry a firearm or not. So with that, I'll set for questions, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion? Seeing there being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Gist that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 386, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed to the motion vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 85 representatives have voted aye, 15 have voted no.
House Bill 386 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 398. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 398, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled, an act authorizing legislators to review records of cases investigated by the Office of the Child and Family Ombudsman, establishing procedures for review, requiring confidentiality, and providing an effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Lenz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, and after having under consideration House Bill 398, that it recommend the same do pass. Mr. Chair.
Representative Lentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Committee of the Whole. This 398 is how should I put it, is kind of equivalent to the legislator's ability to look at Child Protective Services records. So initially, legislators could go in and look at Child Protective Services records in Helena. And after last session, a bill was amended to allow us to look at them in the county where the removals are taking place. What this does, and I guess I need to talk back up just a little bit, Child and Family Ombudsman was put in place in 2013 legislative session. Because we felt like in 2013 that the Child Protective Services need a little more oversight, need a little more someone outside of that department to have authority over them. So now they create findings and records based on complaints that parents bring before on CPS cases. We haven't had the ability to look at those as legislators. And that's what this bill does. If a parent who has filed a complaint could sign that request, you could sign your confidentiality agreement. You can't make copies or take pictures or any of this, but you can review this evidence, which I have found reviewing several Child Protective Services cases to be very beneficial to understand how the system works and what's wrong and what's working right. And legislators need to have input in this arena too, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Lentz, and when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 398, to recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 94 representatives have voted aye, 6 have voted no.
House Bill 398 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 426. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 426, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled, an act revising laws relating to the Office of the Child and Family Ombudsman, requiring the Department of Public Health and Human Services to respond to reports for the office, establishing a timeline for responses and amending sections. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Lentz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 426, that I recommend the same do pass. Mr. Chair.
Representative Lentz.
Members of the body, this is also associated with Child and Family Ombudsman and the Department of Justice. So while they currently and actively are reviewing cases within Child Protective Services, one of the problems has been that there's been no positive action required from the Department of Family Services. So for lack of a better word, Child and Family Ombudsman goes to them and says, here's your paperwork saying these are the things we find wrong. And Child and Family Services goes, okay, thank you. So what this does is this requires a positive response from the department articulating what they've done to correct the problem. It also states in here that if they cannot correct the problem, they would explain to the department why, and that has already been in law, but we've extended it just a little bit further in that if this is an ongoing problem, hasn't been able to be corrected, that would then be reported to the Children and Families Interim Committee so that they could review it and decide if there's some structural problem that we as the legislature needs to address. And with that, Mr. Chair, that'll be it.
Is there a discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Lentz that when this committee does arise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 426, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote nay. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Representative Jones. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 76 representatives have voted aye. 24 have voted no.
House Bill 426 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Joint Resolution Number 7. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Joint Resolution Number 7, introduced by Casey Knutson, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana, urging Congress and the Department of the Interior and the Bureau of Reclamation to repair the funding allocation and authorize funding for the replacement and rehabilitation of the St. Mary's River Diversion and Milk River Project. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Casey Knutson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had it in consideration, House Joint Resolution Number 7, and recommend the same do pass.
My apologies. You should be Speaker Pro Tem Knutson. So, Speaker Pro Tem Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the body, I'm happy to bring House Joint Resolution 7 here. This resolution urges the state of Montana to support the repair and replacement of the St. Mary's diversion dam, the drop structures, and the siphon tubes that divert water from the St. Mary's River into the Milk River. This diversion system services over 148,000 acres from north central to northeast Montana, as well as it provides drinking water for 12 to 15,000 people. This is an extremely important project, not just for the farmers and ranchers on the High Line, but for the whole state of Montana. I would urge a do pass.
Is there a discussion? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representatives, I only rise on inspiration because I tend to only rise to point out critical conflicts I see in the bills. And so I just want to rise in support of House HJ 7, and encourage you to watch the hearing because there was a great film and it showed how Montanans worked together to address a crisis. And it was just a heartwarming hearing as well as a project. So thank you, sponsor, for bringing this bill. And I encourage you all to vote for it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Gist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to thank the sponsor of this bill, Pro Tem Knutson. My dad was on the water board of Milk River for many, many years, and many years he talked about the problems up there, and I just appreciate this bill coming forward. Thank you.
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
I would, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. This past year, there are these massive concrete structures where the water drops down to the next level. Drops 2 and 5 were both replaced after a pretty catastrophic failure. Caused us to not divert any water into the Milk River system for about 22 months, which was a phenomenal time frame for a project that involves the federal government, the state, tribes. I mean, we all know how government works. It's usually not that fast. So we've been working on this for over 20 years now. This needs to get done. It was built in 1903, and that was when the funding structure was put in place as well. So this entire project and the funding structure needs to be addressed, and I would appreciate everybody's support.
The question now rises on the motion of Speaker Pro Tem Knudsen that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Joint Resolution Number 7, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Joint Resolution Number 7 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 342. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 342, introduced by Matt Regeer, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Judicial Election Laws, providing for the partisan nomination and election of Supreme Court justices and judges of district courts, allowing political party committees to contribute to a candidate for Supreme Court justice or district court judge, amending sections and providing an applicability date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Matt Regeer?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 342, that recommend the same do pass.
Representative Matt Regeer.
Members of the committee, a good friend of mine earlier this session on the floor stated we need to pass this bill to make legal what we already do. And here's another bill that does exactly that. Right now, we currently do have judicial candidates that are partisan, and they just can't run that way. And this bill would allow them to. The last election cycle, there was a judicial candidate for the Supreme Court that donated $22,800 to one political party and $0 to the other political party. These candidates are partisan. Our judicial candidates do have their own mindset. They do have their own thoughts. They do have their own worldview. I believe we should let the voters know that. If you're like me, come election cycle, I know that the most calls by far that I get are from constituents saying, who do I vote for in our judicial elections? I believe, well, we've got partisan judges, as you can tell, by donations, that we should let the voters know that too. Let them know what's on the inside. And this bill does just that. So I guess for the opposition for this, you got to explain how somebody can donate $22,800 to one party and zero to the next, and all of a sudden, magically, they're nonpartisan. They're not. So let's put that information out to the voters. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion? Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that House Bill 342 be amended and request the amendment, which is HB 03420020002, be posted and deemed read.
So ordered. Representative Mercer.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak to the amendment?
Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I acknowledge that there are states in the country, including Texas, and I think there are others, where district court judges are elected with partisan affiliation. I think one of the advantages that we have in Montana at a community level is that we're still small enough that when it comes to a district court judge race or a court race for a court of limited jurisdiction, that there still can be the sense of the community in terms of what that lawyer's credentials are, what that lawyer's reputation is. And I certainly agree with the sponsor that that's a different question than when we're talking about statewide races, where it is much more difficult to divine the background and essentially the qualifications and overall reputation. So that's easier, I think, to obtain at the local level than it is on a statewide level. And for that reason, the amendment that I've structured here would strike the partisan affiliation for races involving district court judges and courts of limited jurisdiction. And so I hope you'll consider the amendment and give it favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Matt Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking at, we always don't get everything we want, right? And looking at the path going forward, I would say that this is a friendly amendment, and hopefully you can support that, and let it never be said that I don't work across the aisle. All right.
Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak to the amendment.
Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I was looking to run a similar bill to this, and I really struggle because, for me, when it comes down to it, voter transparency, for transparency to the voters, when it comes to partisan judges, it is really clear. They are partisan. We need the voters ultimately call, and I'm sure you get those phone calls as well, that say, hey, what's going on with these judges? We see maybe one or two signs out.
Representative Kearns, the amendment's actually to take a certain group of judges out of it. Are you sure you're speaking to the amendment?
I am.
Thank you, sir.
I am. So I am speaking to the part of taking out district court judges from that group that is ultimately being so. So I actually believe that district court judges should also be one of those things that should be running partisan. I do, in fact, like the original bill, and I would ask for a red light when it comes to this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Cheetah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll speak to the amendment. Even though I'm going to vote for this amendment, part of the issue stems from an email I got from a judge in the Court of Limited Jurisdiction in Missoula who indicated that they base their contributions on who they know. And they indicated that most of their support goes to the members of one party. And the rationale was, obviously, you know that Missoula is pretty Democrat. So they acknowledge their bias in that. So it seems to me that the original bill does accomplish more of what was indicated in that that particular email. But even though we're not getting the whole apple, and since I'm across the aisle also, I want to work with my friend from Kalispell, so I will support this.
There being no further, Representative Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the amendment.
Representative Usher.
I was a little disappointed when I heard the sponsor of the bill actually stand up and begrudgingly say this was a friendly amendment across the aisle. I got several phone calls, being the chairman of Judiciary, to make sure that this bill came out. And those calls were from judges. Couple quotes. Isn't it funny watching these judges scurry around about this bill? What are they hiding? What are they afraid of? Why are they hiding behind the black robe? If you don't know how the judge affiliates with a party, all you got to do is check with their spouse. Matter of fact, a couple of judges have said when I talk to them about it, is, you know, I can't talk about either party, but you can go talk to my spouse. They can't show up at campaign events, even for other people. This waters down this bill, and I just think it's almost useless to have this bill if we can't include the district judges, because again, just like the sponsor of the bill said, let's make legal what we're already doing or what we already know.
There being no further discussion, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the amendment of Representative Mercer. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 38 representatives have voted aye. 62 have voted no.
The amendment fails. Is there discussion on the bill as amended? Thank you. Is there a discussion on the bill as not amended? Representative Ferris Olson.
Excuse me. Mr. Chair, members of the body, I rise in opposition to House Bill 342 because it guts the independent nature of our judicial system. 70 years ago, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter explained, courts are not representative bodies. They are not designed to be a good reflex of a democratic society. Their judgment is best informed and therefore most dependable within narrow limits. Their essential quality is detachment, founded on independence. History teaches that the independence of the judiciary is jeopardized when courts become embroiled in the passions of the day and assume primary responsibility in choosing between competing political, economic, and social pressures. In 2012, our Supreme Court echoed this statement in Reichert v. State. And despite these words of warning, this bill, HB 342, attempts to jeopardize our judiciary's independence by making the judges partisan. This fundamentally changes our relationship with the judiciary. Instead of allowing courts and judges to exercise their independent judgment in cases, they would now be bound by their respective platforms. Meaning, for example, a Democrat judge in Helena would be bound by his or her party's platform, likely prohibiting him or her from reaching a result separate from that platform, even if it is the right legal conclusion. In contrast, under the current system, that judge may be perceptually liberal or conservative, but he or she is insulated from partisan attacks and is able to make decisions based on the law, not that day's political whims. The sponsor said we have partisan judges, but it's someone who's practiced in front of courts across the state, Macon County, Missoula County, Flathead County. I haven't seen this partisanship. I haven't seen this partisanship in my time clerking for the Montana Supreme Court or in the last 8 years of practicing in front of it. In fact, I've seen how independent the judges and the justices can be. One case in particular comes to mind that I lost in front of the Montana Supreme Court 2 years ago. Two of the justices, who are perceptually conservative, split. One voted for me, one voted for my case, one voted against it. The same happened with the more perceptually liberal justices. And because they aren't partisan, they could make those analyses. If we force them to take partisan positions, they can no longer exercise that independent thought. Moreover, at least one state is geared towards abandoning partisan elections. My good friend from Billings mentioned that Texas had partisan elections. Well, in 2019, Texas established a commission on judicial selection to study and to review the method by which judges were selected. After conducting numerous hearings, the commission recommended to abandon the partisan election system because of the potential impacts on the independent judiciary. In that commission study, they noted that a number of states across the country also had these exact same concerns regarding partisan elections. We should do the same here and protect our independent judiciary. But finally, Mr. Chair, this bill was opposed by practically everyone in the legal profession, the judges, the state bar, the defense trial lawyers, and the trial lawyers. Rarely do you see this many lawyers agree, especially when you're talking about plaintiff and defense attorneys. So I ask this body to please join me and these organizations in opposing HB 342 and preserving our judiciary's independence. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Bye. Representative Beattie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll speak to the bill. You know, during this session, we've been taking on or will be taking on many important issues relating to the legitimacy of our constitutional and governmental institutions. For example, the legislature's role and power during states of emergency, or the role of elected bodies vis-a-vis the boards of public health locally, or even the scope of the legislature's interim committee's scope of activities. Now, House Bill 342 takes on another such issue, the politicization of the judiciary branch, and this is a concern held by many Montanans and probably most of us as well. Unfortunately, the solution proposed here is akin to throwing gasoline on a fire in order to fight it. Those who haven't given up on the task of conserving our constitutional order must resist this bill. Vote no on HB 342.
Representative Patelis.
Speaking in support of the bill, do you really think that they're independent? Do you really think a judge is independent? Seriously, I worked over 30 years with over 50 to 60 different judges, from state judges to federal judges to appellate judges. It took me 1 week, usually, to figure out what political affiliation they were. Why should the voters not have the ability to figure out who they're voting for? And I'm going to analyze it as, when you buy a car, Shouldn't you know if you're buying a Ford or a Chevy? Come on, independent. I'm mad about this. People think that judges are independent. Go work with a judge. 1 week you'll be able to tell what political affiliation is, and that should be left up to the voters. Please vote yes for this bill.
Thank you for your restraint, Representative. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, some of you wanted to vote for the and help this bill along by passing the amendment. The amendment failed. So I'm pleading with you to consider voting for this bill because it is a good bill. We've heard some on both sides of the aisle or both sides of the bill for and against it. And the last comment, I don't have a lot to say after what he just said, the last speaker. But members, if we consider, if you in your heart, you think about this, what is the right thing to do? Let the people decide. Please vote yes.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I regard this as a Consumer Protection Act. The people deserve to know what they're buying. And it forces judges to know their community. It disperses the judicial system, and it also makes it so that district judges and the judicial system is not controlled by this town and the Montana Bar Association. History has demonstrated that judges are not nonpartisan. They are the products of their environment as much as anyone else. And so I'd offer to you the following. The idea that anyone, including judges, are nonpartisan, is like cheap clothes with a high price tag. They're not worth what they advertise.
Representative Tenenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Of course our judges are human beings who have opinions on political issues. No one is saying otherwise. But their work is not partisan work. Every Tuesday at around 2:55 p.m., the Montana Supreme Court releases 5 to 10 opinions on cases that they have considered and then decided. Last Tuesday, they released 7 opinions. 4 of them were criminal cases, 1 was a probate case, 1 was a car accident, and 1 involved the ineffective assistance of counsel. The question of whether an attorney was ineffective is not a partisan question. The question of who has the best claim to mom's estate is not a partisan question. The question of whether it was proper or improper for a trial court to allow video testimony is not a partisan question. These are the questions that the Montana Supreme Court decides on a weekly basis. The work of our courts is not partisan work. Our judiciary is independent. Let's keep it that way. I'd appreciate a no vote on this bill.
Representative Fern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I greatly worry about the acceleration of the concentration of power of two parties that have a pretty exclusive club where there are a few alternatives to joining them. And I say that as a member on this side. And I often support the policy of my party. I think that's important. But I think this is a pretty radical step. We've heard some bills that are very serious and not so serious today, and I think this is amongst the most serious bills we'll look at this session. I get an opportunity to work with judges. As I've shared with you, I'm a CASA person. So I see their work at the district level, and I see a great deal of independence. And I really appreciate that. I would ask you to think in these terms. If you're not sure about this bill, please oppose it. It's too serious of an issue to be undecided in support. It's important we do the best we can to keep party politics out of such a serious issue and keep our judicial system as independent as possible, knowing there are human tendencies sometimes to side a little bit one way or the other. Let's keep the status quo. Let's oppose and resist this bill. Thank you.
Representative Seekins-Crow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to speak for the bill today. Of course our judges are partisan. Of course our judges have feelings. They have circumstances. They've had successes. They've had failures. and they understand their jobs. Their jobs are to be, their jobs are to be fair and impartial. In fact, I think that we can better determine if our judges are fair and impartial if we know what their background is. But that's actually not a secret. We can just look at, for instance, Montana trial attorneys and see who they support, who they send out flyers for, who they donate to, and who they weaponize commissions against. It's very easy to determine that. And I think it's just time now that we go ahead and let these judges tell us who they are and where their background is, because that way we can do a better job ourselves of determining for whom we should vote. I strongly urge you to vote green on this.
Representative Gita.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the bill sponsor yield to a question?
Will the sponsor yield?
Yes, I do.
Representative Gita.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Regeer, if somebody chose in your bill, are there more than two options as far as what a candidate could represent from a party affiliation? Could, in fact, a judicial candidate acknowledge that they are Republican, they are Democrat, they are independent, they are Libertarian? Are those options in addition to the two major parties available?
Yes, that is correct. You can...
Through the chair, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative, that is correct. You could run as an independent if you so choose and not just a political party.
Representative Gillette.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill.
Representative Gillette.
Thank you. I'm probably not going to decide how I'm going to vote until the very last second. I feel super conflicted about this. I think as far as district judges go, a lot of times I don't mean to demean what they do, but sometimes it's kind of mundane stuff, right? Like, it's just not a politically charged thing. So I have that thought in my head. But I also worry about Gallatin that, we might not have another closet conservative judge come through Gallatin. I was kind of surprised when we had a change of administration here about how many people even high up in administration in our state government were actually pretty conservative. But, it took a change of administration before that came out and they disclosed that. So I guess I worry in areas like Gallatin that to the extent we have closet conservative judges in there, once we make it partisan, maybe we don't see that again in our area. But anyhow, I'm super conflicted. But thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Representative Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Speak to the bill.
Representative Usher.
I will say, as the Judiciary Chair, we did have a good, robust hearing, fair hearing. We had a lot of discussion in and out of that hearing. A couple things that came up in the hearing is, the U.S. Supreme Court is supposed to be nonpartisan, and they typically do rule nonpartisan, but they're labeled. They're labeled based on the president that nominated them to the U.S. Supreme Court. And they are that way for life. I believe that an opponent for this bill actually said, the two conservatives should have gone conservative, but they were split the other day in the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, that shows that, sometimes they can rule by law, but they're still labeled that way, regardless of which way they go. Point out again that any judge that wants to file for independent or any other party is allowed to do that. They can run, as they say, they're nonpartisan, and they rule from the bench as nonpartisan. But that doesn't mean that they can't run partisan. Put a brand on them, because that'll tell the people where their core values are. Another example that came out is today in Judiciary, we had the death penalty hearing. And if you know that the judge is a Republican or a Democrat, if you know, you'll know which way they're going to rule on a death penalty case. You know that in advance. So, the one representative said, it's a consumer protection. Well, that way we know. We have a good idea where their core values are and how they may rule when it comes to some of their core values and their experiences. You can also tell from who stood up and in different conversations which representatives have gotten phone calls from their district judges. Like I said when I was talking about the amendment, it's amazing to watch these district court judges scurry around. What are they hiding from? Remember, district court judges, the bar, and most lawyers work for the state Supreme Court. So if the Supreme Court doesn't want this, they're not publicly going to come out and say they don't want this, but they're going to put it down through their chain of command. And so all those organizations, including all the attorneys that technically work under the Supreme Court, because you don't want to go across and against the Supreme Court, they work for the Supreme Court. So remember that when you make this vote today, is who do they work for? They're supposed to work for the people. And if the people don't know who they are because they're not willing to come out and say it, we need to ask them to say it. What are they hiding from?
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is serious. And I didn't hear in the opposition anybody explain how a Supreme Court candidate last cycle can donate $22,800 to one party and zero to the next and be considered nonpartisan. That was never explained. In fact, even in the opposition, they said, well, yes, human tendencies do tend to side one way or the other. You even heard that in our Montana Supreme Court, and the opposition said perceptually liberal or perceptually conservative. This isn't about nonpartisan or partisan judicial candidates. This is about letting the voter know. So I say vote yes.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Matt Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 342 and recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
No.
Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 44 representatives have voted aye. 56 have voted no.
House Bill 342 has failed to pass second reading. The chair recognizes Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You have heard the motion of Majority Leader Vinton. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. And the ayes have it.
Mr. Speaker, we, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, recommend as follows.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the committee report.
You've heard the motion to adopt the committee report. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 91 representatives have voted aye. 7 have voted no.
The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Skies. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 152, introduced by Durham, a bill for an act entitled requiring drain plugs to be disengaged to prevent aquatic invasive species.
House Bill 152, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Does every member vote? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 152 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 186, introduced by Kearns, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revised Laws Related to Teacher Certification.
House Bill 186, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 72 representatives have voted aye. 27 have voted no.
House Bill 186 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 192, introduced by Rexton, a bill for an act entitled Revising Laws Related to School Major Maintenance Funding.
House Bill 192, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 192 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 246, introduced by Bertolio, a bill for an act entitled Revise Education Laws to Enhance Local Control and Opportunities for Pupils.
House Bill 246, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 99 representatives have voted aye. One has voted no.
House Bill 246 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 252, introduced by Jones, a bill for an act entitled Non-Refundable Tax Credit for Employer-Paid Education of Trade Professions.
House Bill 252, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 72 representatives have voted aye. 28 have voted no.
House Bill 252 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 267, introduced by Durham, a bill for an act entitled Improve School Bus Safety Laws.
House Bill 267, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 267 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 294, introduced by Fitzgerald, a bill for an act entitled Revised Fees for Agriculture Seed Licenses.
House Bill 294, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 88 representatives have voted aye. 12 have voted no.
House Bill 294 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 299, introduced by Dunwell, a bill for an act entitled Revised Insurance Requirements for Diabetes Self-Management Education.
House Bill 299, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
No.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 56 representatives have voted aye. 44 have voted no.
House Bill 299 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 306, introduced by Funk, a bill for an act entitled Revised Transportation Laws Relating to Tourism.
House Bill 306, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 99 representatives have voted aye. One has voted no.
House Bill 306 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 349, introduced by Hopkins, a bill for an act entitled Protect Freedom of Association and Speech at Public Post-Secondary Campuses.
House Bill 349, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 67 representatives have voted aye. 33 have voted no.
House Bill 349 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 382, introduced by Curdy, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revise the Use of Exploding Targets.
House Bill 382, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 51 representatives have voted aye. 49 have voted no.
House Bill 382 has passed the House.
That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, revert back to order business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on Judiciary, recommend that House Bill 415 do pass, 520 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Barry Usher, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, revert back to order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Joint Resolution 17 and House Bills 591 through 600 are introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. All are posted. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number nine, motions. Representative Wendy Boyd.
Mr. Chairman, can I be off the record or point of personal privilege, if I may.
So ordered.
Mr. Speaker, you know, the earlier on a particular bill we voted on and not being given a chance, I'm not even going to go there as far as the process is concerned because I'm on the losing end of that argument. But what I wanted to do, and 60 members in this body have been here before and know that I always get up and speak up in support of the bison issue. And what I was going to say were two things, Mr. Speaker. Was one, I was going to ask a question if the sponsor of the bill had consultation with any of the tribes, which I kind of doubt. And the second part is that my point of not being a part of the negotiation or participation of this particular issue is not everybody recognize them as bison or buffalo. And reason why I say that are there are 10 tribes who have in their own language a definition of what these are. And I'll give you an example in my language of the Cree. We call them Pasquamustos. And I haven't even been given a chance to have my share of participation on just that alone. So, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make that point, and thank you for not recognizing me.
Representatives, we'll use this as a teaching moment. Over the next week, we are going to have a lot of bills that we are going to try to get through pretty quickly. So make sure you punch in early to get recognized, and hopefully this won't happen again. Representative Knave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise to speak on a point of personal privilege.
So ordered.
Okay. Members of the body, I would like to point out that our chair of the day misspoke and misreferenced our speaker pro tem, and I don't see the basketball, but it should be on his desk. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Order business number 10, unfinished business.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 11, special orders of the day.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 12, announcement of committee meetings. Representative Lenz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Human Services at 3 o'clock today, 5 bills.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Natural Resources, 3 bills tomorrow, 3 p.m. at 172.
Representative Cashmire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Ag today at 3 o'clock, room 303, Supreme Court Chambers.
Representative Custer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Local Government today, 3 p.m., room 472, 3 bills and executive action.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No House Appropriations today, but we will have House Appropriations tomorrow morning at 9:30 for executive action, since someone has our room in the afternoon.
Representative Beatty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section A will meet next Monday morning at 9 o'clock in 472.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Taxation tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. We have 4 bills. Thank you.
Representative Fitzgerald.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Fish, Wildlife, and Parks will meet in 172, 3 o'clock. We're going to reload the wagon. Signals have changed.
Representative Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary will resume at 3 o'clock today. We will also be 7 o'clock tomorrow. If I can read off the bills that I just scheduled for tomorrow.
So ordered.
Tomorrow we will have House Bill 552, 553, 555, 557, 559, 560, 578, 581, 584, 591, 592, 596. If those are yours, you should get notice, but I just want to let you know in case you didn't get it in time.
Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Energy tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Oh, my gosh. I just did exactly what I was going to. Mr. Speaker, may I rise on a point of order, please?
So ordered.
The good representative from Columbus twice did it, and I just did it, referred to you as the chair. So I guess I'll put more money in the ball, and I'll send it to her.
Representative Logie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Transportation Committee tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Representative McKamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 6 bills. Oh, I said it. Oh, shoot. Oh. It's because I associate with you. You know that, don't you know? Yes. Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Okay. Six bills tomorrow, 8 o'clock, room 455, State Administration.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House of Business and Labor will meet tomorrow morning at 7, and I'm going to follow the example of our good judiciary and read those bills because I haven't got around to seeing everybody, if that's all right, Mr. Speaker.
So ordered.
The ones we just are scheduled for tomorrow, in addition to the 7 that we already had, is House Bill 548, 550, 551, 558, 564, 566, 568, 569, 582, 589.
Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn and reconvene Wednesday, the 39th legislative day at 1 p.m.
You've heard the motion, Majority Leader Vinton. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House will convene at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, February 24th. The House is adjourned.